This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW, the Burger Boys.
Hello, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah, for our Week 3 edition of the Coordinator's Corner, our weekly BYU football conversation with the Cougars' coordinating coaches. Coming up on today's broadcast, we will look back at a slugfest of a win at SMU last Friday night, a victory that moves BYU to 2-0 for a fifth consecutive season. 18-15, the final score, as the game-winning points came on a Will Farron field goal in the closing moments. Our guests today are BYU offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach Aaron Roderick and associate head coach, safeties coach, and defensive coordinator Jay Hill. We start today's show by saying hello to BYU OC coach Aaron Roderick. Good to see you once again.
Good to be here.
Very nice win on Friday.
It was. It was a good win. It was a bit of a grind, and we had some self-inflicted wounds, but we were playing against a very good defense, and I was really proud of our team for overcoming adversity and finding a way to pull it out.
Now, SMU was 2-0 coming in. They were on a 9-game home win streak. They'd been averaging 54 points a game in those 9 wins, which is crazy. So they're on a bit of a roll. But defensively, which you're most focused on, they were arguably as good, if not better, on that side of the ball last year than they were on offense. Yeah. They were really good on offense. Some big boys up front in particular, some next-level-looking guys, actually. What kind of challenge were you anticipating going in?
It was what I expected. They were very good on defense, very athletic, big up front. And just a lot of speed on the field, and they're good at what they do. You know, they were very good on defense last year too, and now we made some mistakes that were of our own doing for sure. But it's a good defense, and you know, gotta take the win any way you can get it.
BYU's defense did a great job getting you the ball in a good spot to start the game, and you got tight. I want to bring this up because you got tight end Reiner Swanson. His first career catch in that opening drive. What can you tell us about Reiner Swanson?
Reiner can run really fast. He's a big guy who can run. And he's going to be a future star in this program. He missed a lot of fall camp with an injury. And that's why you haven't seen him yet. In fact, you can see the ankle taped up there. But he is full go now. And we're getting him a few more practice reps every week. And we'll try to keep finding ways to use him more. He missed a lot of camp, so he's a little bit behind.
So is he kind of being eased back in a way?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We're finding ways to get him back involved, yep.
Okay, well, that's good. And as you said, that was his only grab on the night, I think, but there's more to come for him.
For sure.
Okay. No damage done, by the way, after something that happened early. It was a wild game because there were 6 takeaways, yeah, 3 for each side. And the first one came in the first drive. Jake got raked, if you will, on what kind of looked like a he didn't expect the guy to be where he was or vice versa on that handoff.
Jake and Connor had a little mix up with the snap count. And so the ball came a little later than it should have. And then we were not able to hand that jet sweep to Cody. But now what Jake needs to do is just protect the ball. Just put 2 hands on it, get down. You know, there's no sense in trying to run right here. We just need to put it away, protect it, and play the next down. And don't make a bad play worse, basically.
Is that basically when he comes off to the sideline, is that the conversation?
Yeah, that is the number one thing. That's for all players. Don't make a bad play worse. Sometimes we hand the ball to a running back. Something's not blocked well. Don't run backwards. Get forward, get vertical, get what you can, and protect the football.
The damage was mitigated, though, because defense did its job for BYU, and you got the ball after a punt, put together an 8-play, 75-yard touchdown drive. No fourth downs needed this time, but a huge play on a 3rd down. It was originally ruled a no-catch on the field. They reviewed it to a catch. It would have been a stick mover anyway because there was a roughing the passer on the play, as I recall, but a really nice job by Keelan to make a big gain even bigger.
Keelan made a great catch. Jake made a really nice throw to get it to him because the coverage wasn't perfect for the play call. They did a nice job. They did some different coverage things early in the game, trying to take away our outside receivers, and that was just a great catch coming down with it there.
And he felt he made it.
We got the roughing penalty as well, right, which really helped.
So Jake takes the hit there, and then Keelan, they did on review, give him the catch. So at the end of run, another 15 yards, and you're set up then the 1st and 10 from the SMU 16. And for the second time in as many weeks, Mataba Tase was your target in the red zone.
Yeah, it was a similar play to the one he scored on last week. We gave it a little bit different window dressing, but did a nice job.
Did he land on the ball? Is that what happened?
He just knocked the wind out of him.
Yeah, they wanted to celebrate with him. He's like, no, yeah. They said, hold up on this, because he was not in a celebrating mood after landing on the ball. And he stayed down a little bit, but he's all right.
Jake had to put it a little high just to make sure he gets it over the backers there. And it was a great catch by Tava to come down with it.
Does look really similar to the SIU play, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So last week in the SIU game, no offensive three and outs against FCS, but much better opposition in week two. Really good defense. They did a nice job forcing you into some of those three and outs on Friday.
We were not having success on first down. That was the real problem in the game was lack of success on first down was leading to second and long, and consequently we had a lot of third and longs. And third and long is not a good formula for scoring points. And so we have to play better on first down this week.
Didn't help that you lose L.J. Martin late in the first quarter either.
That didn't help at all, yeah, because L.J. has been playing really well. And even in this game, he had some good runs before we lost him. And so that was a factor for sure.
Anything you can say about L.J.'s status moving forward?
Just that he's doubtful this week. Yeah, we're probably not going to have him.
Okay. So you're trying to find answers at running back in the absence of L.J. Martin, and lots of guys got looks on Friday.
Yeah, and I thought guys stepped up. Folau had a few good plays, and then Enoch Nawahine and Miles Davis both had a big impact in the fourth quarter at the end of the game and did some really good things.
There was a sequence, I think, second quarter where Hinckley, on a second and 10, I thought he got the first down, actually. The spot I didn't think was great.
Yeah.
Set you up third and one and then fourth and one. Those are the hard yards, right? And when you're most comfortable when you got a guy like Tyler Algier comes to mind, where yeah. You know third and short, fourth and short, you can just pound it and get that first down.
Yeah, that was a really good run by Hinckley. And I thought, I'm sure we'll get to it, but the fourth down conversions were a big part of the game. You know, we were able to convert on those.
That was one that didn't go, but the others that came in big spots were going. Yeah, you've been good on conversion downs.
We were 2 for 3.
Yeah.
Excuse me, 2 for 3 on fourth down. And the two we converted were huge plays in the game. You'd love to go 3 for 3. Well, that's part of going for it a lot on fourth. You know, if you go for it on fourth, you're not going to get them all. And but we follow, we have a plan, and we follow that plan, and more often than not, it leads to winning if you stick to the plan.
It was tough sledding for the offense in the second quarter of that game Friday, but the defense had your back all night, forcing SMU into settling for long field goal tries.
They did. Defense did a great job, and we put them in a couple tough situations. They battled out of it every time, and difference in the game is they kick 5 field goals, and we find a way to get a couple touchdowns and that game-winning field goal, and that's the difference.
First half for you guys ended almost exactly the way it did in the SIU game. You got the ball in the last minute with a chance to go set up for a field goal try, and you did exactly what you wanted to do, but it was just a long field goal that Will just missed left.
Yeah, Jake did a good job in the two-minute drill. He's been really good in 2 minutes. The end of the Oklahoma State game, the end of the half last week, and the end of the half this week, just doing a nice job running our two-minute drill. And we gave ourselves a chance. It was still a long kick for Will, and so no loss of belief at all in Will. We would have liked to have gotten a few yards closer for him, but we did give ourselves a chance there.
And BYU went into the locker room trailing, but only by 2 points. When we come back, we'll see how the BYU Cougars came back for a big win in Big D as we visit with OC Aaron Roderick. As we head to break, this reminder to join Dave McCann and Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night for a brand new episode of After Further Review as they break down the film and BYU's win against SMU and look ahead to Wyoming. That's tomorrow, 7 Eastern, on the BYU TV app or ESPN+. When we come back, more with Coach Roderick as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
We're back on the Coordinator's Corner and spending some time with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, looking back on BYU's 18-15 win at SMU last Friday night in Dallas. With the win, the Cougs now 5-0 all time against the Mustangs, and BYU's also a perfect 5-0 in short week away games in the Kalani Sitake era. On that note, BYU's played 11 short week Friday games in the Sitake era, meaning Friday game after a Saturday the week before. 5-0 on the road in those and 9-2 overall. Is there anything to the way that BYU uses its limited time that leads to that kind of record?
I think it's just a tribute to our players. We have smart, players who are diligent about preparing and doing what they're supposed to do. And I think, we talked a lot last week about both teams have a short amount of time. Let's use the time better than they do. And I think our players, we just have the type of guys that are going to do what they're asked. And that's the explanation I have.
Back to the game. On Friday, you were trailing 9-7 at the break. And unfortunately, first drive of the second half ends the way the first drive of the first half did. Jake was trying to make a play under pressure.
Yeah, we had a protection error, I would call it. It was SMU's most common blitz against our most common pressure. And we had a mistake, didn't pick up that blitzing linebacker. And then, but again, what Jake needs to do here is just take the sack, just eat it right here. He's wrapped up, trying to do too much. He knows it, and there's worse things than a sack. You know, play second down, live to play the next down. Don't make a bad play worse again.
There's also worse things than having a guy that believes he can make a play. You want that in your quarterback in a lot of ways too.
You do. And that's you know, he's a playmaker and he wants to make a play there, but that's one where we need to eat it. And we need to protect against the blitz better, first of all. And we that's something we will correct today.
It was in the third quarter that you turned to Utah State transfer running back Enoch Nabahine, and one of the biggest plays of the game came on a fourth down in the third quarter. You're in scoring position, 9-yard line. Field goal draws you to within two, but a touchdown gives you the lead, and you hand the ball to Enoch.
Yeah, and it's actually, we were trying to throw the ball to Chase. We had a little pick play. We're going to throw it to Chase. And it's throw it if you can, hand it off if you have to, basically is the mindset. And they dropped into zone, dropped their defensive end right under the throw to Chase. They were banking on us throwing it. And so Jake made a great decision to hand it to Enoch, and the O-line and tight ends really came off the ball, and it was a pretty, really pretty run play.
Okay, in the booth, in the moment, when you see what's happening, are you 100% confident of what Jake's going to do in that moment?
Yeah. We've practiced this many times, and he knows what he's supposed to do, and he executed the play well. So, I mean, sometimes just handing it off is the quarterback making a good play. Mm-hmm. In that case, he did a nice job because, you know, it's tempting. You want to throw the touchdown pass or get the first down, you know. But SMU was banking on us throwing, and they dropped into zone.
When you saw that, were you feeling pretty good?
They dropped their 295-pound D end, which just left a huge gap open for us. And then we had to block everybody else, but the play was well executed.
And well called. The play before the Nabahine touchdown was an 8-yard completion to Keanu Hill. And the play after the TD was a completion to Keanu Hill for a 2-point conversion. Terrific catch by Keanu on this.
Both were good catches. The hitch that he caught was a little bit low, and he did a nice job to make the catch. And then this is what we've been seeing Keanu do his whole career, right? Is make great plays, and this was the Keanu we all know.
How do you think he's coming along as a tight end in your offense?
He's doing a lot of good things. We need to keep developing him in some areas, but the one thing he can still do, as always, is he makes plays, contested catches. That's what he does best.
And on Friday night, BYU's defense kept making plays. SMU drove deep into BYU territory twice in the fourth quarter, and BYU came away with takeaways both times.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, they played so well against a team that has scored a lot of points historically.
Yeah, so this way, and we'll talk more about this with Coach Hill, of course, but one of the better plays you're going to see a defensive back make with his back to the sideline to get the toes down.
Yeah.
And great to have Mark Collins as part of that group. Again, we'll hit more of that with Coach Hill, but the defense was a standing tall. This is the fumble forced that came after the pick deep in BYU territory. And Jacob, an alert play, they reviewed it, gave it back to BYU. Two massive plays for the defense there that helped the offense. Of course, the end game in this game came in late in the fourth quarter. SMU's fifth field goal of the night ties the game at 15. You get the ball back with 6 minutes and 17 seconds to play. You went on basically a four-minute drive that ended in points, which is exactly what you needed to do, right? Use clock and score. The drive begins, I think it was an important catch by Chase just to get you going a bit on that. But the play of the game comes on the fourth and one at the BYU 48-yard line. Your side of the field, tie game, fourth and one.
Yeah, the tricky part was we had a good idea the play was going to work. We lined up in the play, and they called timeout. And so we talked about, sometimes you talk yourself out, well, should we do something else now? Okay. We decided to stick with it, and it turned out exactly as we had practiced, and it was very well executed by everyone.
I mean, they're on Jake pretty quick there. He's got to make a quick.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be cover zero. They were going to bring everybody, and we felt like by bringing the miles from the other side of the quarterback that the linebacker that has him man-to-man would have a hard time getting there. And that's exactly what happened.
And because we weren't seeing LJ and weren't seeing Hinkley, it was Enoch Nwabuhine and Miles Davis. And Miles has been making plays for you over the last few years.
He has. I'm proud of him. He has a great attitude, and he never complains. He just shows up and plays. And that was a perfect play for him because he has speed. You know, he's probably our fastest running back. So it was nice to have him in the game on that play.
Set you up first and 10 at the SMU 15. You're in position for go-ahead points now. How did you want to play that series of downs?
Well, you'd love to score a touchdown, and you know, really that would be ideal. But you also want to use some clock. And number one, most important thing though, is you want to take care of the football. So we were, our play calls. Yeah, we gave Darius a chance right there to end it. And then, you know, this play, we were trying to get the ball to Chase there on a slant, but they dropped underneath it, so we hit the check down. I thought the players executed those plays well, just to, you know, you want to score, but you don't want to risk turning it over either. You got to be, you know, smart about it, and we have so much faith in Will, so we put it up to him there at the end,
and he hits the field goal to make it 18-15. The defense held SMU to no yards on the ensuing possession, and they were working on a short-ish field. They got it at the 40. Yeah. Only needed about 30 yards to put themselves in field goal territory.
Yeah, that field position wasn't ideal, but again, the difference in the game though is we get points three times in the red zone, and they kick a bunch of field goals, and so that's the difference.
Is it true that every OC's favorite play call is in victory formation?
Yeah. It's nice to end the game in victory.
That's what you got to do to close this one out and kind of kneel out the win, which is really nice. On the road against a favorite opponent, power conference opponent now, a solid way to get to 2-0.
It is. You know, we want to play better. There's a lot of things we can do better. But we were 11-point underdogs against a team that won 11 games last year, the plays in the ACC now. They had a lot of good players on that field, and I'm proud of our players for finding a way to win.
No win is exactly like any other, every other, and indeed, this is the first win in BYU football history in 100 seasons of football by a score of 18-15, so you got that going for you.
Wow.
There's been a lot of games played, and that's the first 18-15 we've seen.
Interesting.
Kalani has won a few games in which they score fewer points. The Arizona game in 2016, the Sam Houston game last year, and this game last night are all top of mind. And if you don't allow a touchdown, you got a pretty good shot to win. That's the sixth time that Kalani's teams haven't allowed a touchdown, and not surprisingly, it's 6-0. It's a good way to go about business.
It is.
Okay, that's Coach Aaron Roderick on BYU defeating SMU 18-15. Just before we hit the offensive player of the week for you, the value of winning that kind of game, where you score maybe not as many points as you'd like to, but it feels complimentary in a lot of ways. The defense had your back, and when you had to make a play, a big drive, you did. Just the value in that kind of win.
Yeah, I mean, I think good teams find a way to win even when they're not playing at their very best. And I think we showed some character. We made some mistakes, but nobody flinched. Everybody stuck together, kept trying to work the game plan. And, you know, in some of those key moments there at the end of the game, we were able to pull it out. That last drive, taking 4 minutes off the clock and getting points, said a lot about the character of our players, and you know, it's style points. You know, we'd love to have, you know, a few more points on the board and play better and all that stuff. We'll work on that stuff, but we got the win.
It's 2-0. Yep.
2-0 and moving on to Wyoming.
Let's get to your offensive player of the week from the SMU game. Who'd you like?
Caleb Etienne. At two games in a row, he's played very well, and I'm really proud of Caleb. It's no secret that he had some struggles last year. And he has played well in both games and playing with just very physical and doing a great job in pass protection. He was going against some very good pass rushers Friday night and did a nice job. And
what
key block on this fourth down right here. Yep.
Biggest key maybe to 1 year to the next for him. What do you think it's been?
Just confidence. I think a year ago he was new in our offense. He didn't know the offense as well as he does now. And I think it's just a year in the system. He's just a totally different player.
After the break, a look ahead to Saturday in Laramie as the Cougs play their second consecutive away game in a bid to go 3-0 for a second consecutive season. This Saturday, you're invited to tune in to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio. We'll be on the air at 7 Eastern, 5 Mountain, as the Cougars take on the Wyoming Cowboys at War Memorial Stadium. As we go to break, a reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's, quality and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. Coming up next, our final segment with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. We're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick before he gets a week off on this show next week. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. BYU now 2-0 for a fifth consecutive season after Friday's 18-15 win at SMU, the win snapping the Mustangs' nine-game home win streak. So next up, BYU and Wyoming. The Cougs playing in Laramie for the first time since 2009. Coach Roderick, what are your personal recollections of road games at Wyoming as a player and as a coach?
Very tough place to play. Yeah, their fans are outstanding. They get after it up there. They're good fans for their team. And sometimes, I don't know what the weather forecast is. I haven't looked at it yet, but you never know what's going to happen with the weather. The wind can be blowing or whatever. But
even in September.
But yeah, it's a tough place to play.
Let's take a closer look at the Cowboys. This weekly opponent preview brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. They're 0-2. They had a blowout loss at Arizona State to open the year, then a close loss to an Idaho team. They say, they almost beat Oregon. Idaho did. Yeah. And then they went into Laramie and got a win.
Yeah, and at Arizona State, we're finding out, is a very good team. You know, that score surprised me week one, and now I see what Arizona State did beating Mississippi State this week. That explains it a little bit better.
Wyoming is -4 in turnover margin through two games. They've yet to record a takeaway. You had one of those rare games where you did give it away a few times on Friday, but it was even in the margin by the end of the night.
Yeah, thanks to our defense for getting some takeaways and evening that out, and that helped us preserve the win. But yeah, we need to take better care of the ball this week for sure.
Wyoming does have 14 TFLs in two games. They can get after you.
They can. They're good defense. There's not a lot of film this year, just the first two games, but we've looked at all of last season, and they played very good defense last year. They're tough to run the ball against. They're very disciplined, and they're just a tough team. I would say just a physically tough team. And mentally tough. They're not a team that's going to give you anything.
Back to personnel notes. We saw you used Enoch Nabahine and Miles Davis, and even Sione Moa got a couple of snaps, I think, as well at running back because you were down your top two guys on Friday.
Yeah, and you'll see those guys again this week for sure.
You said LJ's probably doubtful. How's Hinkley looking, if you can say anything about him?
Not looking good either for Hinkley. So, yeah, you'll see Miles and Enoch and then Sione and Pokai. Yep. We got to figure out, you know, what their role is as well.
Yeah, so that's the name we haven't seen yet, but somebody I thought looked really good in camp, and you did too. Pokai Awa, or Pokai Haunga, freshman out of Timpview High School, might get in the mix?
He might, yeah. Pokai's one of our, we think, you know, he's a really talented guy. We've just been trying to decide what's the best way to use him and whether or not to redshirt him or whether just to turn him loose. And so, but injuries might dictate that it's time to do that. We'll figure that out.
The football cliche is next man up, but there's a reason that they're the next man because there are guys that are ahead of them. How do you feel about your running back room right now?
Good. Yeah. Enoch stepped up. Miles played well. Just next man up is exactly right.
And you hope that long term you can see both Hinkley and LJ back on the field.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, LJ is a special player. He's a really good football player. We want him back, and Hinkley's a good player too. And so this is part of the game. You're going to have injuries, and people have to step up, and we have a lot of confidence in Enoch and Miles.
Always good chatting with you, Coach. Thanks. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks.
Good to be here.
All right, thanks, Coach. Tomorrow night, join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake as the coach, Kalani Sitake, and our special guest player look back at Friday's win and head to Saturday's showdown with the Cowboys, Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. Coming up next, BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill joins us as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys, Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Smith's, low prices, market fresh.
You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. In the first half hour of the show, we were joined by offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. Our second 30 minutes featuring BYU defensive coordinator, associate head coach, and safeties coach Jay Hill. Coach, good to see you once again.
Yeah, great to be with you.
How do you describe the last 11 days of your life?
Crazy. It's something I would have never expected. I thought I was in great shape and healthy and doing things mostly right, and all of a sudden you're having a heart attack and trying to figure out what the heck just happened. and then the emotions of that and wanting to be with the players, and you have responsibilities on the field, but you also have responsibilities to your family and everything. That's been a crazy juggling act that we've had to deal with.
As someone who would rather not be the center of attention, you attracted a lot of caring and compassionate attention from Cougar Nation. How did it feel to kind of have a bond with supporters of your program and you in a very unanticipated way?
Well, super grateful for just the people and how many texts and phone calls, and the number of people that reached out just to give their support was outstanding, overwhelming almost, and super grateful for that. I was grateful for how others stepped up to try to help Sarah and the family and stuff. So that's one thing you got to love about the BYU community, just how people rallied behind it. And really even extending past that, the Utah community and the coaching community, it was from everybody.
And a very general question, but how are you feeling these days?
Much better each day. I want to get back to being what my old routine was, but I still got to be smart, but I'm feeling much better.
One of the things that was part of your old routine was coaching on the field. You've been in the booth for games 1 and 2. How's that working with you, for you, and might that be where you are now?
Well, for sure, till the bye week, I'll be in the box, and who knows, past that, I might decide that I really like it. I've loved the ability to just kind of sit in my call sheet and just witness what's going on the field and just stay in that calm setting that the box gives you. You don't see all the craziness of running up and down the sideline and the players bumping into you that you get on the field. And so I think for sure from my heart it's a little better right now, and so we'll reassess it after the bye week, but for sure the next couple games will be in the box.
Very well. To the business at hand, you and your coaches and players last week were prepping on a short week for an SMU team that has been one of the most productive and prolific attacks in football the last couple of years. What was going to be top of your to-do list in Dallas this past week?
Well, we had to handle their tempo. They're one of the teams in the country that snaps the ball the fastest between snaps, and they go fast with their tempo. The other thing we need to do, we need to stop the run and try like crazy to make them more one-dimensional. If we could handle the tempo, stop the run, we were going to put ourselves in a good position to win.
Let's get into the game a little bit, and I'd like to start with the coin toss, because under Kalani, BYU's won 50 tosses, and they've deferred on all 50. SMU wins the toss, and they say, we want the football. Tells you what you need to know about that team's mentality, I think, right?
Well, so they had been averaging 54 points at home over the last two seasons.
Yeah.
And I think we had won 9 straight.
It was the 9 straight wins, yeah.
I think that they were wanting to get the crowd involved, and they were wanting to get the players like, hey, here we go again, type mentality. And it was huge for us to get those early sacks, to get the 2 3-and-outs in the first 2 drives. And quite frankly, I like when offenses want to do that. It's a great challenge to me, and it's a great challenge to our players that I think they stepped up great and handled it well.
Yeah, that first defensive series, it was a 3-and-out, as was the next. And those back-to-back TFLs on 2nd and 3rd downs, forcing a punt, really tone-setting plays, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, just here, we got after Stone, the quarterback, really good early in the game. They actually ended up benching him for the sacks that he took. I can't say enough about how the players executed the game plan, the things that we had drawn up. I mean, it was just like things were coming through clean, and the players executed them so well, and their mindset when their backs were against the wall. I just can't say enough about the players and how they handled that game.
SMU had been using both guys, but Stone's the starter, right? He got the second series as well. And it was another BYU sack, I think Blake Mangelson this time, an 11-yard sack. He had an excellent game, by the way, Blake did. We'll talk about him later. But, yeah, those first two series, Stone's not feeling real comfortable, and you were getting in the backfield.
Well, I challenged the secondary to do a good job with their disguises, and I thought they did a great job of just keeping the quarterback uneasy in the pocket. And I thought the pressure ended up showing up early on in the game. And you know, when you're hitting quarterbacks early and they don't know exactly what the coverage is doing, you're putting yourself in a good position to be successful. And that's exactly what happened with him. He got sacked 3 times, and they were potentially hard hits too. So I thought we executed well.
Yeah. So it was two series of Stone, no first downs. They went to Jennings on the next series. It was almost exclusively Jennings. We saw the one series from Stone there in the second half, but almost exclusively Jennings the rest of the way. You need to see both guys, but when you force Stone out of the game, you get a different look, and they're not exactly the same guy back there, are they?
They're not, and Jennings was a little bit more athletic. I think they feel like Stone throws it a little bit better, but Jennings was more athletic. I think he added something as far as escaping some of the blitzes that we were doing. And, you know, he did a lot of good things for him. But it goes back to, I just felt really good about the way our guys contained the quarterback in the pocket, and the secondary did a great job disguising, and the linebackers showed up all night.
Coming into the game, SMU was a perfect 9-for-9 in the red zone. But a theme Friday night was them getting into scoring position and coming up empty or having to settle for field goals. It was Kevin Jennings' first drive, I think. He gets SMU to 1st and 10 at the 15, but it turns into a 4th and 1, ends up being a turnover on downs.
It was.
This is the sequence here.
So this was a huge just sequence in the game. If you'll see, we run a blitz on 3rd down and really should have sacked him. The linebacker's got to stay a little tighter here.
Here's your 3rd down.
But if you look at the effort to get back in right there by Glasker, that sets up 4th and 1. We get out of this drive. The effort was outstanding even when we made mistakes. And we get out of the drive. And that happened a couple times this game where they had us kind of back against the wall, but effort or execution really got us out of those holes.
All of SMU's scoring in the second quarter was on field goals, including 53 and 52. I mean, those aren't expected to be made, but they have an excellent kicker who can do it. It's a 9-7 game at the break. Considering that SMU was averaging, like you said, 53.9 points per game in those 9 straight home wins, you had to be pleased with your guys at halftime, weren't you?
Well, I was, and this is something I want to just have a great shout out to our assistant coaches because they've handled the last 2 weeks so well. And I did not go down into the locker room at halftime. I stayed in the box. The running up and down the stadium was not what I wanted to do. So I stayed in the box and just talked to the coaches about the adjustments we needed to make. And they went down there, rallied the troops. They said they were all in good spirits and feeling good about what had gone on. And you rely as a coordinator on those assistant coaches so much, and our guys all stepped up. I'm so proud of those guys and the players for just how it went down.
I saw Sarah with you on the ramp to the field at the game. She's always by your side, but it seems like even now, even more so. And I think it's great that you are so supported that way.
Well, I want her with me, and the players love her, and I think she's a motivating force for myself and for the players. So I want her around. I know the players love her around, and she's been good just to kind of keep me even keel in the box. And I think that that's an important part of just staying in the moment and staying focused mentally on what I need to do. She's been a huge, obviously, asset throughout my career, and especially the last couple weeks.
Well, if you keep winning games with Sarah always there, she might just be a fixture from here on out.
Well, she's been begging for a headset for 20 years, and so her being
closer
in the box is just one step closer.
Right? All right, when we come back, how the BYU defense helped lock down the Cougars' Friday night win in Dallas. You can get ready for BYU and Wyoming this Saturday with BYU Sports Nation Game Day's expanded pregame coverage beginning 2 hours prior to kickoff at 7 Eastern, 5 Mountain on BYU TV. When we come back, more with defensive coordinator Jay Hill. As the coordinator's corner continues, we're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more after this.
Snap off his right hip and throws, intercepted by the Cougars at the far boundary. Picked off, and Mark Collins has his 6th career pick, first as a Cougar. The defense stands tall and makes a massive play, protecting a 3-point lead.
Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner. BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill, my guest, looking back at BYU's 18-15 win at SMU last Friday before we look ahead to BYU and Wyoming this week. The Cougars trailed 9-7 at the break and would go down 12-7 before an Enoch Nabahine touchdown run and a Keanu Hill 2-point conversion gives BYU the 15-12 lead. Then came, Coach, two massive sequences early in the fourth quarter. Takeaways number 2 and 3 on the night for BYU. The first came on that 2nd and 10 at the BYU 20-yard line. SMU had driven all the way from its 9-yard line, so a long drive going. They're expecting points, and Mark Collins expected to make a play.
Well, Mark's one of those guys that's pretty special to me. I've coached him for a long time. I'm excited to have him here at BYU with us, and he's made huge plays throughout his careers, and a lot of them in moments like this when we most needed him, and that's just such a great job to catch the ball, keep his feet in bounds, and I don't know about the celebration, but but I do love the play. It makes me happy to watch.
And a reverse toe tap with his back to the sideline.
Yeah. So he's got that ability. He's got ball skills. In high school, he was a wide receiver mostly. I really loved him back in 2008 when he first came out, and he came in that year and ended up being a starter as a true freshman. And so Mark and I have been through a lot together. It was fun to see him make that kind of play in such a huge stage, in such a critical part of the game.
Yeah, I mentioned on the call there, it's his sixth career INT, with five of them happening at Weber State. On the ensuing BYU offensive series, SMU picks off a pass deep in BYU territory. Credit to Braden Kime, by the way, for keeping Jared Harrison Hunt out of the end zone. So they were first and goal from the three, holding backed him up. So they're first and goal now from the 13. Next play, great example of playing to the whistle first and foremost. And then if you see a loose ball, get on it. And they reviewed it, and Jacob Robinson gets the fumble recovery on the Burchard Smith fumble. Really key stage here.
Well, so one of the things that goes unnoticed is the play right before that, or the first play, Batty just penetrates the defense and knocks the guy back and makes him, forces a holding call. And then the very next play, we're backed up, because if this run occurs at the 3 yard line, it probably scores.
Yeah.
Right, and so because of the holding call and the play that Batty made the play before, it gives us an opportunity. And this is a player trying to make a play. He's just, it's something obviously he shouldn't do, but that's a fumble. I mean, the knee's never down, that's a fumble. And huge play for us, it was opportunistic. And the other thing that's big deal right there, Jacob Robinson jumping immediately on the ball is the only reason they award us that fumble. If it's bouncing around and they blow it dead, then it's over. But him jumping on the ball so quickly, they had to award it to
us. Rubik says if there's no immediate recovery in the ensuing action, it'll stay with the offensive team.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So SMU eventually ties the game at 15 on a school record, by the way, fifth field goal from Colin Rogers. But great, five field goals is a record, but they were field goals. No touchdowns. I think it's their first time in 8 years without a touchdown.
Well, that's a huge stat, and especially for that offense. I had given our defense four goals, and I can hit them real quick. We needed to keep them under 3.3 yards of run attempt. We needed to keep them under 103 pass efficiency rating. I had talked to him about being under 45% touchdowns in the red zone, and to limit those attempts in the red zone to three or less. And I felt if we did those things, we were going to be great. Well, holding them 0 for 5 touchdowns in the red zone was a huge stat in this game, and just how they stepped up and got out of those drives was huge.
BYU under Kalani, when the defense goes 3.5 yards per rush or less, is now 29-12, and you've won your last 7 games under that number. It's pretty good, a good benchmark for you to want.
Well, that's a big benchmark for us. We always want to stop the run, but when you do that and you hold opposing quarterbacks to 75% pass efficiency rating, I mean, that's just dominant football.
Okay. So SMU does tie it at 15. Will Farron gives BYU the lead 18-15. It came down to really just four plays, four downs they would get in the closing moments, and it was all from the SMU 40. I thought it was appropriate that the defense be on the field to essentially win the game for BYU on this night. They got one crack at a series from the 40-yard line to end things on Friday night.
Well, they did, and that goes back to, you know, offense, special teams. I thought the offense did a phenomenal job on that last drive where we got the go-ahead field goal. Was huge for us, and then special teams, you know, when we were backed up, gets the ball out, and then we put it on our shoulders, and I thought we handled this last drive well.
Third down here.
You know, Jack Kelly, look at his speed right here, because Jennings can run now. And so Jack Kelly to wrap him up like that was big. And we had him running for his life, and here comes Jack again on the scramble. But, goes back and proud of the guys, super fired up for the players. And I love
him. He was fired up too.
You know what? His passion is so much fun, and the players feed on it. I feed on it. It's amazing. We all love working for and playing for Kalani.
Coach Roderick got to put his offense back on the field to have some victory formation kneel downs, and really satisfying win. 18-15, the final. BYU's now won 23 consecutive games when holding the opponent to 21 points or fewer. That usually gets the job done.
There you go. That's a great stat. We'll just keep that the rest of the year. If we can just do that the rest of the year, I feel good about our future.
And it was a power conference team on their home field, double-digit favorites. It had a 9-game. There were a lot of reasons to like what you guys got done on Friday.
Hey, winning in college football is hard. I don't care who you're playing. And when you do it on the road in front of a good crowd and you beat a powerful four team on the road that has played so well at home, you take it and you feel good about it. I don't care. Like, I don't get caught up in all the negative, we should have done this and should have done that. That's a huge win, and we better be grateful because they're too hard to come by.
Okay, let's ID a couple of guys that you liked as defensive players of the game, and then we'll talk about Coach Papinga's special teams player, too. Okay. First of all, defense.
Well, I loved Blake Mangelson. I thought he was absolutely dominant up front. Huge plays in the game, pressure on the quarterback, stuffing the runs. And then Mark Collins, I mean, he had two or three just huge plays in this game to really flip momentum. So those two guys.
Blake Mangelson, the Mangler, and Mark Collins with his first BYU interception and again sixth of his collegiate career. So Blake and Mark are the defensive players of the game. Coach Kelly Papinga likes Tanner Wall as a special teams player for a second consecutive week.
Well, and Tanner played really good on defense. I'm fired up for him and just what he brings to our team. He's just that guy that does everything right, and you got to have those guys on your football team, and I love coaching that kid because he just does everything I ask him to do.
Yeah, so Tanner gets the special teams player nod, but he's also one of your safeties. And a lot of safeties have played in weeks one and two, and I think you'd think they played very well.
Yeah, I think they played good. They're doing a better job this year disguising. I think we're tackling better than we did last year, and there's a lot of competition in that room that's kind of risen the level of play for all of them.
How much of last year is paying off this year? Because it was trial by fire for a lot of these guys.
Well, it was, and we're deeper this year, much deeper than we were a year ago. I think the execution for the first time showed up in this last game more the way I envision it. And, you know, it's a great game to build on. We can't be content with taking a huge step forward. We got to be hungry to continue to do that.
If you were to judge your defense overall through two games, what pleases you most right now?
Just their trust. I didn't always feel that there was the trust factor we have.
Amongst now. Themselves?
Amongst themselves and the scheme and the coaches. And just I see that trust building and the execution of the scheme because of it is much better than it was a year ago.
Okay, excellent. Time for a break once again. As we step away, we remind you that your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play is on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Coming up in our final segment of this week's show, Coach Jay Hill helping us look ahead to Saturday's showdown in Laramie. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU now 2-0 after an 18-15 win at SMU. That snaps SMU's 9-game home win streak, and also snaps BYU's 5-game away losing slide. So good to get back on the winning track away from home. And as noted, BYU held SMU without a touchdown for the first time in 8 years. Final segment now with BYU defensive coordinator, associate head coach, and safeties coach, Jay Hill. On that note, SMU had been piling up the points at home over the last couple of years, and they were favorites. And I know you're moving on to Wyoming, but I think you really hope that that's one of those things that is a nice building block for you moving forward.
Well, we have a ton of good film now to show the players of when we execute well, we can play elite defense. And I think we showed that we can stop the run against an elite offense, and we can stop the throw against an elite offense when we execute the way we're supposed to.
So Wyoming, now moving on, 0-2 after a loss at Arizona State, who's looking pretty good, and a home loss to an FCS foe, Idaho. But Idaho has played well in 2 weeks, almost had a chance to beat Oregon the week before. They were sold out in Laramie on Saturday. How would you describe your personal history with Wyoming, War Memorial Stadium, that whole experience?
Well, I played them twice as a player, Wyoming, lost to them both times. I've lost to War Memorial Stadium as a player and as a coach, and it's a tough place to play. The fans are crazy, and it looked like they had a phenomenal crowd last week. I'm excited about the challenge of going into a hostile environment. I love playing on the road, quite frankly. I love what it represents for the players and myself, and we're going to get Wyoming's best shot because they're a little wounded right now. They've not played great yet through the first two games, but they've got ability, and they're going to be searching for everything they can to put it back together.
They have a head coach named Jay, who was a defensive coordinator and safeties coach before he became the head coach. Okay. Jay Sauvel is his name. Yeah. It's his first year as the head coach.
Well, and that's not always easy deal, right? I've been there before where you're taking over a team and they're searching for an identity right now. I think he's a tough guy that tries to do things right, and you see that in the way they play, especially on defense. And yeah, we're gonna have to go out there and have our mindset right, and I fully suspect our players will do so.
Now, they're averaging under 200 yards per game right now on offense, including 2.5 yards per carry, which is a low number. So it's early season struggles for them right now on that side of the ball.
Well, they have struggled, and I told you they're searching for things, but sometimes in that search, you can find some of the best stuff and be more creative. And they have players that are very capable, and we're going to have to do a good job of trying to keep them down when they're down. And really, I believe this game's going to be so much about us. If we go out there and execute our schemes the way we're supposed to on all three phases, then we're going to like the outcome.
How do you describe Wyoming's offensive scheme when they are doing what they want to get done?
They'll pack you in and try to pound it, and then they'll spread you out and try to throw it. You see both. I think it's a very pro-style offense, but I think it revolves around if they can get the run game going, then they can settle the quarterback down more. If the run game's not going like it hasn't been the last couple weeks, then you put a lot of pressure on the quarterback having to throw the ball on third and long, and then he has to see so many exotic coverages and pressures and all that stuff, and I think that's not what they want.
Wyoming's defense hasn't recorded a takeaway yet through two games. Your defense has 4 takeaways in 2 games, including 3 in the SMU game on Friday. Felt like those takeaways were as much a factor in the victory as anything.
Oh, you know, I really believe this. If we were +1 in the turnover margin, we win that game by 10 points or so. If we're -1, we probably lose. Being even, it took a really good effort on all three phases to come away with it, and that's just how it's going to be all year. We need to be +1 or more in the turnover margin.
How do you like your team's disruption level through 2 games right now?
Solid, still not quite what I envision us being able to do. We had some missed opportunities. We had 2 dropped interceptions in that SMU game. We had some missed sacks that were just wide open. But for the most part, like I say, we're getting better at execution. We're not there yet. We have some growth to do still.
5 sacks, 15 TFLs through 2 games. By the way, 3 sacks at SMU. That's your first game with multiple sacks since the Arkansas game last year, which was a road win, too.
It was. And one of my favorite games that I'd coached in up until Saturday. But those were both big wins, Arkansas and SMU. And if you're going to win on the road, you got to be disruptive on defense.
Well, here's to another big win on Saturday. So good to have you back here and back with the team. And just around overall, we're so happy for you and grateful that everything's gone the way it has.
Well, after what I went through, it's so good to be back. And you don't take for granted these moments because they're precious.
Thank you, Jay. Okay, we'll see you next week. That'll do it for week 3 of the Coordinator's Corner for coaches Roderick and Hill and our entire crew. I'm Greg Grubel. We'll see you next week, and go Cougs.
We had 2 really cool.
It's any card for the win right now at Mountain America.